Hi, I'm Ted Holtine, and welcome to Episode 3 of Durango 1918, The Pandemic, The War, and The Peace. Our KSUT series explores what life was like in the fall of 1918, a time when the Spanish flu spread all over the world. America had already entered World War I, and the future looked mighty uncertain. Kind of like today. Our series is co-sponsored by Colorado Humanities and the Southwest Humanities Roundtable. The Roundtable is a coalition of local organizations which create and promote History Live every September. And in this case, it's going to go into October, but that's okay. Our show, Durango 1918, is part of the larger project. To tell the story of Durango in 1918, I'll be reading from primary documents like the Durango Democrat, the Durango Evening Herald, the Silverton Standard, the Gunnison News Champion, and Denver's Weekly Courier. So let's begin where we left off last time. We're in early October. The same week that Durango experienced its first fatality from the Spanish flu, the Silverton Standard turned its front page over entirely to three things: news of the war in Europe, the impact of the draft on mining operations, and the need to raise money for Liberty loans. Here's the biggest front page headline and its subheads: What Your Liberty Bond Will Do. 9 $1,000 bonds will provide 20,000 gas or phosphorus grenades. And keep hitting hard and smashing harder. The body of the story continued: Now is the time when every American should consider what is to be his or her share in the drive for the fourth Liberty loan. It is incumbent upon every businessman, banker, capitalist, member of a profession, miner, and industrial worker, as well as upon every woman, not only to subscribe for Liberty bonds, but to do something else to help put over the fourth Liberty loan. Let every man and woman in San Juan County subscribe for bonds and work with an eye single to making it a victory loan. To underscore the need for contributions, the article included an update on the war, emphasizing the American effort. The progress now being made on the Western Front in Europe is of a highly encouraging type. While the masses of men which have been transported from the United States to Europe are now in excess of 1.5 million. More are being sent over every day, and there is no reason to doubt that in less than 10 months from the present time, there will be 3 million American soldiers on the Western Front, with a million more in reserve in the camps on this side of the Atlantic. At the bottom of the Standard Saturday front page, Silverton's Congregational Church placed a box ad for Sunday services with an additional pitch for Liberty bonds. 10 a.m. Bible school, 11 a.m. morning worship. Sermon subject: Thank God, take courage, but fight on or buy a Liberty bond now. Signed, R.O. Byers, the pastor. Buried inside the same edition, Saturday, October 5th of 1918, the Silverton Standard published the full text of President Woodrow Wilson's call to support Liberty bonds and create a new holiday. Now, therefore, I, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States of America, do appoint Saturday, the 12th day of October 1918, as Liberty Day. On that day, I request citizens of every community of the United States, city, town, and countryside to celebrate the discovery of our country in order to stimulate a generous response to the Fourth Liberty Loan. Commemorative addresses, pageants, harvest home festivals, or other demonstrations should be arranged for in every neighborhood. A lot of words from the president there. Lest any Silvertonian think, however, that peace was at hand, the newspaper carried on an inside page first, a seemingly positive report on Allied successes, then a dry assessment about German fighting strength and resilience. The news of the week was so good that it seems necessary once more to warn the people of the United States against undue optimism concerning the early coming of peace. Allied commanders and statesmen agree in the opinion that unless there's a sudden and unexpected collapse, Germany can well hold out for at least another year, and that we must make all of our preparations for a war that will not end before 1920. Now, the idea that the war might last another year or carry over into 1920 was sobering. But life goes on in small-town America and its newspapers. In that same issue, the Silverton paper reported two items of local interest in the personal ads. The first was paid for by Billy Cole, and the second by the editor himself. Here's the first. I have been appointed on the committee on the Fourth Liberty Loan. Will appreciate the help of my friends in assisting me to gain my quota of $10,000, which has been assigned to me. Signed, Billy Cole. And then also from the editor, E.A. Hillman. Nellie Carver of the Lackawanna Mine was among those who remembered that the editor occasionally needs money and came in and paid for his subscription. We'll be glad to welcome many others who may come on a similar errand. So 2 weeks later, the influenza crisis accelerated alarmingly in Silverton. The Durango Democrat followed up on a story that the little town to the north needed outside help. Silverton Mayor Crook is reported to have notified Denver Red Cross officials that there are more than 500 cases in the town, and the death rate is appalling. Dr. A.I. Davis and Nurse Crandall of this city went to Silverton last night. The people of Silverton, while putting on a brave front, are said to be appalled at the great loss of citizens within the last few days. So the next day was Saturday, October 26th, and the Silverton Standard ran 9 full obituaries on its front page. One noted that James E. Cole, age 34, had left behind his father, 2 sisters, a wife and son, and 1 brother, Billy Cole, who only 2 weeks prior had asked his friends to support his quota in the Liberty Loan drive that we just heard. The full-story obituaries dominated the front page, but the center column featured a startling headline: "The worst week ever known in the history of San Juan County." So general has been the spread of Spanish influenza in this county, and so many are ill from its effects, and so many deaths have been resulted, that to go into the history of each one that has died within the past few days is not within the power of any human. It is impossible for us to write life's history of all who have departed this life in our city the past week. We therefore only mention in brief the names of our departed. To all those who are bereaved, we extend deepest sympathy. The following are the names up until Friday morning, which was yesterday at the time. The newspaper then listed 42 Silvertonians who had died the previous week, including James Cole and Silverton-born May McNamara, who had been the chief operator at the local phone exchange. We mentioned her in last week's episode. May's younger brother Thomas, who was 21, was also in the list of recent deaths, leaving Mr. and Mrs. J. McNamara to grieve 2 adult children. Now, under school notes on Saturday, October 5th, the Standard noted a new janitor, a Mr. Taylor, who had been hired and who had earnestly taken up his new duties. On Wednesday evening next, there will be a doubleheader basketball game. The faculty will play the high school girls team and the boys team will play the home team. Sounds rather confusing, but such were sports in 1918 Silverton. At the bottom of the column, the Standard's editor, manager, and all-purpose reporter, E.A. Hillman, added a cautionary note about something he'd seen about town. "If anyone has seen a boy or a girl starting toward the schoolhouse, shouldering a gunny sack or other mysterious-looking package, it is possible that his curiosity might have been aroused, for this proceeding is rather unusual. Nothing desperate was contemplated, however. They were simply bringing old clothing, which is to be turned over to the Red Cross, for rag carpets for our soldiers. This is just another phase of the good work of the Red Cross." Under local and personal, editor Hillman ran a long description of a recent meeting of the town's Red Cross chapter. "For the past week, the ladies of our local chapter have been working at City Hall, decorating the rooms for the tea. The address of our faithful friend and chapter leader, Mrs. Robert Pearson, brought home to the guests the important work assigned to every Red Cross chapter. When our boys come home from over there, and the time is not far distant, they're going to know who made our chapter what it is. Red Cross is a soldier's pal in war. It will be his pal in peace." Today's Silverton Standard continued in reference to the 1918 flu epidemic. There are many parallels as well as significant dissimilarities to today's COVID-19 pandemic. Here's a telling feature from the Silverton Standard this last summer, which was June 28th of 2020. "In 1918, Silverton had a population of some 2,000 and enjoyed a measure of isolation, which probably postponed the onset of the flu. On December 14th, 1918, the Standard published a complete necrology with 146 names. The deaths came so quickly that the morticians could not keep up, so 2 mass graves were dug at Hillside Cemetery to bury the dead." Maybe you've seen them up there. Later in 1919, when the Spanish flu began to finally subside and the Great War was over, it was calculated that 10% of Silverton citizens had died of the disease. The mortality rate per capita was what many historians and public health officials continue to believe was the highest rate in the entire country. By contrast, La Plata County, the mortality rate was 1.8%. Out of a population of about 11,000 in 1918, more than 200 Duranguans died as a result of the Spanish flu. The worldwide average was 2.5%. When Gunnison survived a small late surge of cases in 1919, the Gunnison News Champion reported that the early blockade and strict guidelines resulted in only 58 cases total and only 4 deaths. Things do work. At the end of the 1918-1919 influenza cycle, statistics for the state of Colorado showed 49,000 total cases with more than 8,000 deaths. In our next episode, we'll look at three things: how Coloradans marked the national election in early November of 1918, also the much-anticipated armistice of November 11th, and our American Thanksgiving. Until next time, I'm Ted Holteen for Durango 1918.